not by anything that I merited, but I had a friend of mine ask me to book a little evening. And he said, Danny, TBN has asked my church to broadcast a service around the entire world. And I would like you to have a 16-minute session on preaching. It's got to be exactly 16 minutes. Can you do that? 16 minutes. I said, well, yeah, oh, yeah. And so I was so grateful for my friend giving me the opportunity. And I was thinking, for the one time in my life, my voice, simple as it is going to be broadcast all over the globe. And I began to think, probably the only time in my life that someone in Africa or Asia or Japan or South America could turn on a television and possibly hear what I had to say. And I began to seriously think, if my voice is going to cover the whole planet for 16 minutes, what do I want to say? Now, this week we had a member of our church, Alfredo, right over there, that was on the Laura Ingraham show. And I'm sure, Alfredo, when you spoke and talked about the American dream is greater than the North Korean dream, and I loved your little preaching. You did good preaching, I'm telling you. A lot more people heard you on that Laura Ingraham show than they heard me on that TBN broadcast. We want you to know we pray for you, we bless you when you're away from your wife and your daughter, and keep fighting for freedom. Give Alfredo and his family. We love you. I was calling all my pastor friends, tuning in. So there's no delusion of grandeur about how many people heard my voice. That's not what this is about. What it was about is I began to thinking, my voice is going to cover the earth. What do I want to say? Question, your voice is covering your earth. What do you want your voice to say? I started transitioning from thinking about people, but I began to think, what do I want God to hear me say the one time my voice would cover the earth? What do I want the Holy Spirit to hear me say? What do I want the Lord Jesus to hear me say? What do I want demons to hear me say the one moment my voice gets to cover the earth? And after thinking about that, I stood up on that platform and I made this statement. John chapter 14. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm at peace with that statement because I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and I want everyone on the planet to hear it and know it. I want every demon to know where I stand, and I want to stand in the audience of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and tell him, Jesus, I declare you are life, you are truth, and you are the way. Can you celebrate that word with me right now? Praise the Lord. Now, I'll be honest with you. That was TBN. You don't live in a TBN world, Trinity Broadcasting Network. You don't have a Christian audience. You live in a CNN world. You live in a cable news world. And when we make a statement, or you hear a preacher like me get up in church and say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, we're going, oh, yeah, hallelujah, warm, fuzzy feelings. Yeah, praise the Lord, that's so true. But when you go out into your culture, and you go out in your cable news world, where you live and where you work, that's not such a wonderful statement. It's intolerant, it's bigoted, it's conceited, it's narrow. It's even probably considered ignorant and naive. That's why we're exploring God this month at Chapel Hill with some incredible questions. I have a millennial nephew that was in my apartment yesterday passing through, and an Ivy League graduate, and he says, "Man, you guys are dealing with the real questions of my generation. What are, number one, do I have a purpose in my life?" That was week one. Go back and listen to it. Secondly, is there a God? Last week we probed, how can a good God allow so much pain and suffering throughout history? Last week. Next week, oh, you'll want to be here and bring someone with you as we study the question, is Jesus really God? And then the week after that, it's essential for you to be here where we examine the question, is the scripture really valid? Can I build my life on it? Can I build the way I approach my destiny with the word of the Lord? And then we're going to finish this whole exploring God exploration with this question. Can I have a personal relationship with a living God? But today, we're on question four. And the question that we're facing today is the question about, is Christianity too narrow? You see, we live in a relativistic culture. You know, what that means is everyone, it's not true, it's not right, it's not correct, but we live in a world, and you live in a world where everybody gets to create their own reality. Everybody creates their own truth. And if you live in a world where everything's relative to the own personal experience that you're having, then for you to come in and say that Jesus is the way, the truth, or the life, or hear a preacher or a church say that, it seems so narrow. The virtue of our hour is tolerance, and the only thing that will not be tolerated is intolerance. And when someone like me or a Christian says Jesus is the path to eternal life, you are quotation marks around your statement. You are thought to be a bigot, unkind, unloving, narrow, and simple-minded. So this is a question that we must explore. Is Christianity way too narrow? Now, maybe it is. It is narrow in some regard because our Lord and Savior said in very clear terms, there's some narrow passageway to eternal life. Matthew chapter 7, look at this verse. It says this. It says, enter in through the narrow gate. The big wide door where believe anything, live anyway, do, oh, that's the easy way to live, but it's not the way of the gospel. So Jesus even said, there is a sense of narrowness to the gospel. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But before we talk about how narrow the gospel is, I want to talk about how broad the gospel is. I only have 2 points today. The 2 points are this. Is this, how broad is Christianity? Just for a moment. How broad is it? And then I want to talk about how narrow Christianity is. And if you will lean in and absorb what the Holy Spirit has given me to share with you today, I believe you'll be able to walk out in your cable news world and not be ashamed to have any discussion with your peers who think Christians are bigots and be confident to say, I want you to hear my voice. I may not be on television, it may not be satellited to Africa and Asia, but my voice is clear. I want you to know from my lifestyle and how I live my life and my values and my priority and the way I serve and how I care about those who are unloved. Jesus truly is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. This is my voice. This is my life message, and I'm comfortable in it. First of all, let's just talk about how broad Christianity is. You know what? Some people would look at Christians and say, boy, that is so restrictive. That is, you just bind yourself up with all those things that you're supposed to do as Christians. And then you meet some Christians, and you know what they're talking about? Freedom, liberty, who the Son has set free, he's free indeed. And so there's just like this dual movement going in minds. Boy, you Christians, you don't get to do anything. You can't have any fun. But the people who really know the Lord and walk with, they're so free. They're so liberated. They live in such grand, open places. So yes, there is a narrowness to the gospel. But oh, don't forget, there is a broadness. There's an expansiveness to serving the Lord Jesus. How many have found that in Jesus there's freedom and liberty like no other way of living? I want to hear you say amen. It's freedom. Well, let's talk about how broad Christianity is when it comes to inclusiveness. Christianity is so inclusive. Now think about this verse. Is there a better verse in the Bible that describes what the gospel is than John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his, help me out, his only begotten Son so that, help me out. Whoa, let's back up. So, who can meet this love? Whosoever should believeth on him should not perish but have. And you know, they say we're really judgmental as believers. Don't ever forget, darling, that the verse right after that great love letter from God, God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The next verse, for all those people say, we're so judgmental, you Christians are so judgmental, says, for God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him could be saved or freed from failure and condemnation. The word whosoever is inclusive. It means everyone. There's never been anyone at any time walk up to Jesus and say, I want to experience your love. I have failed and I need you to forgive me of my sin. And Jesus say, not you, not what you've done, not what you've thought, not the crimes that you've committed, never, never. There has never been a person that was excluded from having Jesus come into their life. In fact, I bet you would really be uncomfortable, and it happens, but not very often, if a total stranger came knocking on your door. Knock, 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 and said, excuse me, can you crack your door and let me come in? I want to get to know you. You would go, I don't think so. Now help me out. I know you would. I mean, but this is Jesus. Look how forward. Jesus is not only inclusive, he's reaching. Revelation 3:20 says, this is Jesus speaking. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock on the door of total strangers. I'm after them. I want them. I knock on the door, and if anybody will crack the door, I'll invite myself into their heart and I'll create a personal relationship with them that is second to none. So Christianity is inclusive. In fact, in Revelation chapter 5, 11, we have a futuristic window of how wide open the gospel, how broad, how far-reaching, how embracing of everyone the gospel is. We're reading about people are crying in heaven because there was no one that could open up the scroll of God's will, which meant how we, God's plan of washing away mankind's sin. And finally, they begin to say, there's one who's worthy to open the scroll and break the seal so we can have God's will and read God's will and testament. And you know who it was? It was the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundations of the earth. And look what the scripture says. People were there from where? From where? What does the scripture say? From they were purchased. The word purchased means past tense. During this time frame of human history, the blood of Jesus went down and purchased people from every language, from every country, from every tribe, from every neighborhood. Everyone was included. I want you to know there is a narrowness to the gospel, but when it comes to who's welcome and who's included, your friends and your buddies and the people on your campus, there is a welcome mat out to them. The love and the grace and the forgiveness of God will always be there available. Go ahead and give the Lord praise. I'm so glad I got in. If you're glad you got in, give the Lord a clap offering right now. He let you in. Ah, not only that, but you know what? The Christianity is not only broad in how inclusive it is, it's broad in how much room God gives us to explore our world. We really get a lot of room to explore our world. This is our Father's world. And as I preached and taught in Does Life Have a Purpose? Truth is not afraid of good research and what you discover. And so as a Christian, we're not narrow. We don't live in a bubble where we can only listen to other Christians. We only have to listen to gospel preachers. We can't explore the world, the created order of science. We're forbidden from reading secular authors. No, not at all. You see, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to make a statement right now, and I don't want you to ever forget it. This is very important. God's not afraid of truth. All truth is God's truth, wherever that truth may be found. In fact, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to say it one more time, because that's a part of living in a CNN world that you've got to know. All truth is God's truth wherever truth is found. Turn around and tell your neighbor, I want you to practice that. All truth is God's truth wherever truth is found. So, stay with me, when it comes to is Christianity too narrow, you don't have these handcuffs that you can explore your world. There's truth to be found in science about God's created genius. And guess what? I'm going to say something right now, and some of you could probably twist this and say I'm a heretic. But there are shades of truth that you might even find in some other religions. Now, you heard me say that Jesus is definite article. The way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. But that doesn't mean just because truth that we have through Jesus and the Word of God. Listen with me. This is the air that we breathe in our culture. It doesn't mean you're going to run into some other religion and they're not going to have little bits or fragments of shadows of truth. I'll tell you, I was watching a PBS intellectual in a big theater in New York, I think it was. And I was so cracked up. I was just so cracked up because these people were like, he was talking about life principles and how to have a positive life. And the people, oh, the place was jammed. I don't know what they paid for the ticket, but they was like eating up everything he was saying. I was sitting there when he'd make a comment, I go, yeah, that's Philippians 4:13. And everything he was saying in these secular terms that all these people go, oh, I've never heard something so rich. I've never heard something so enlightening. I've never heard something. And all he was doing, and I don't know if he knew it, but he was pulling principles out of the Word of God, and he didn't give a chapter and a reference. You know, if we would forget this gospel preaching, take all the truth that's in the Word and write books and tell people about it and didn't tell them it was in the Bible, people would think we were great. But I want to tell you, I'm not ashamed to let you know. If you want to know where truth is that'll rock your soul, get in this book right here, because this is truth, and it is the voice of the Lord. You're not forbidden. Look what C.S. Lewis said. I want you to look at this quote. This is really important. C.S. Lewis said, if you're a Christian, read it with me. If you're a Christian, you do not have to believe that all other religions through and through. If you are a Christian, you are free. So even the ones that are just, there could be a little hint of, so let's talk about there are things in some twisted belief systems that have a resemblance of truth that we know is real in the Bible. When I talk to people that don't follow Jesus, I'm not going to beat them up. One of the things is about meditation. This Bible, go to Joshua. It says, meditate upon the law of the Lord both day and night. See if God will not open up paths before you and prosperity and blessing and peace. If you just start meditating on the word of the Lord, well, you can talk to a lot of your New Age people are people from probably Eastern religions, and boy, meditation is really, 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 really big. And you could drink coffee and talk about your quiet time, your still time and your meditation time, and make connections with them. So at a certain level, there's some common ground. I wouldn't beat them up for meditating. But when they go to this realm where they open up and they clear their mind and just let anything come that may come, then you move into a zone where the believer meditates, but we meditate upon the law of the Lord and the word of the Lord. We open ourselves up, but not to any spirit out there disguised as angels of light. We open ourselves up to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So as a believer, being quotation mark, you're so narrow, there are places that we have bridges, and enjoy those bridges. But notice, C.S. Lewis says, no, that doesn't mean that all roads lead to heaven. No! And it doesn't mean there's times when we say, hey, you know what, I really don't think what you're believing holds up. But he makes this other statement that is really real that I want you to put in your toolbox. He says, other faiths and religions that are not operating in truth, they're kind of like people doing math, okay? Now, there's some people that do math, if you'll put that up. And when you miss the problem, you're like Danny Duval, math-wise. You really miss the problem. I got my Algebra 2 teacher brought me up to his desk. And he knew that if any football player made an F, the head coach would get a board and just boom. And he said, Danny, I'm going to give you a D minus, minus, minus. You deserve an F, but I don't want Coach Clay to get a hold of you. And the only reason you're not getting an F is because you're the quarterback of the football team. I missed it bad. Some of the other kids missed the question. Not very much. And so they're close, but not quite there. A miss is a miss. But some are way out there, and some have resemblance of truth. And so when you think about the broadness of Christianity, think, explore, examine. You're not restricted. God is saying, go out there and think and read and listen and discuss and have relationships. But when you've gone the gamut, just know that when you really want to walk in truth that's liberating, that it endures, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and you'll want to find your way home. We'll go on and on, but just not only is the gospel broad and it's inclusiveness and it's freedom for you to explore. Christianity is broad in its social interactions. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 11, was a friend of sinners. Look at this verse, Matthew 11. John the Baptist was out here all alone, crying. I went down to the NFL thing yesterday, and I thought I was going to get in and throw the football and run the 40-yard dash. In the NFL experience, when I got there at 3, they said I had to wait till 6 to get in. I was just brokenhearted. I had my tennis shoes on. I was going to throw that ball through that little loop. I was hoping the Rams would see me and ask me to be their fifth-string quarterback, you know? And I was already, and Gayla just had to pick me up because they wouldn't let me in, you know? But Christianity, it is just... John came, and as I was going around, I had all these street preachers screaming at me. And you women, you better start wearing nicer clothes. And I was just like, oh, God, come on. And I blessed the guys' hearts screaming at the general public. But I was thinking, some of you guys are doing more damage than you're doing good. And I'm a street preacher. You know what? I go out and I talk to people and I laugh with people and I warm up the moment and I talk about the world and then we just talk about life. And the gospel needs social interaction for it to land. And when you're just screaming at people, John the Baptist was all out there by himself and he had his day and people said he was a demon. And then Jesus came in and he ate with sinners. He was at the table with sinners. And they said, how can you do this? And you know what? The gospel does not say, darling, you can't go out and hang out with people that are not Christians. You can't associate with friends that are going another direction. It doesn't say that. In fact, there is a place where you are so confident in your own skin. There's a place where you know who you are in Christ Jesus. There's a place when you're so free. There's a place where you're so solid in your faith that it's not wrong to mix with people who don't know the Lord. It is your mandate to build relationships with people that don't know the Lord. And if there's any reason, you can hear my passion today, grow up in your faith. Get secure in who you are in Jesus. Know in whom you have believed. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Have answers for the questions that might come because you have a world that needs you to interact with them and let them feel the very power of Christ in your personality when they are so far from Him. Grow up in the Lord. So He gives you permission. I'm going to watch Super Bowl tonight, and I will hear every curse word on the planet. And I'm going to be having the time of my life because I'm a friend to people outside the bubble of Christianity. So, it's broad and Christianity is broad and including people. It's broad in allowing us to think and explore. It's broad in letting us mix with people who don't know the Lord. And it's broad in its forgiveness. 1 John said, if you sin, if anybody sins, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Do you ever feel like you're about to run out of your quota of forgivenesses? Come on. Okay. By now, that lesson should have been learned. And I am past 70 times 7, whatever that multiplies to be. Have you multiplied it out like, oh no, I only got 30 more to go? The gospel is broad. I tell you folks, I'm full of the joy of the Lord today. I was full of the joy of the Lord yesterday. I expect to be full of the joy of the Lord tomorrow. You know why? because I have a revelation of how broad His grace is and how expansive His forgiveness is. And I am so deep in the sea of His forgiveness that I understand what Lamentations 3 and 22 says. I'm going to try to live holy, and you are too. And you're going to try to love your daddy and be everything that you want to be to him. But sometimes you're not going to quite meet what your expectations are. And you're going to beat yourself up. Can I tell you what's going to happen when the sun rises? Lamentation 3 and 22 says, hit the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Great is His faithfulness. At your worst, the gospel is broad and the blood of Jesus is deep. And it says, you have not reached my quota of how many times I'll forgive you and clean you. Come to me. My waters are deep to wash away your sin. Come on, church. Give the Lord thanks. The gospel is broad. But it is narrow. Jesus said it's narrow. Matthew 7 says narrow is the gate. But you know, sometimes narrow is good. If you want power, if you want force, if you want dynamics, you got to put light like a laser, not like a floodlight. If you want energy, a small opening with water going through it can be a jet compared to a dissipated flood. And there is some narrowness to the gospel. You know what that narrowness is? The gospel is true. The gospel is true. I was talking to a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago, and it really wasn't a discussion about are you a Christian or Jewish or Buddhist or atheist. It wasn't. I was just trying to have a little conversation. Somehow, he made this statement. I want you to hear this because this is our world. And he gave me this intellectual paragraph that was rehearsed. It was so manicured, I knew that he'd almost prepared it for people who ever talked to him about faith. Okay. But he had woven the bumper sticker on those cars that has all the faith and says coexist. Now, I believe in coexisting. I want no persecution. I'm not here for Christianity only. I'd like everybody to know Jesus, but everybody has the right to believe whatever they want to. But this man had woven this into a great intellectual treatise for me to think about. And then he finished his statement with, that's where I believe. Listen to what he said. Because I'm trying to hedge my bets against whatever I may face in eternity. In other words, I'm going to take a dab of this and a dab of this and a dab of that and throw a cup of this and a little bit of this, and I am going, no matter what it's like on the other side, I'll be able to say, oh, but I believe, and Christianity is narrow in that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it's narrow because it's true. And Christianity is either true or it's a lie. And being a little Christian philosopher or a little dab of Christianity because it's a nice little American way and it might get you some more business and open doors, if we're not Christians because it's the American thing to do, we're Christians because we're followers of Jesus. And what Jesus revealed to us about himself and the Father is true. So it's either true or it's not true. And in that it's true, it becomes narrow. And it's powerful. And it's dynamic. And it's transformational. Because it's not just philosophical mumble jumble. It is the reality about what is. How many of you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and the empty tomb declares that testimony? Hallelujah. And that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I close with this, and it's so important. There's four slides for you to digest it, and I want you to slow down. It's so early. It is so early. We would just now be getting started last week. Aren't you happy? I love it. Okay, C.S. Lewis, you've heard this. Read it with me. Read it with me. We'll close. 1, 2, 3. I am trying here. One more slide. The guy can't call himself God, like we're going to study next week. Is Jesus God? And be a good moral teacher. He's a liar. He's a lunatic. He's a demon. Or he is the way, the truth, and the life. And his gate of his blood on the cross may seem narrow in a cable news world, but it's the truth of that passage through that narrow gate that will set the captive free. So, as I was given 16 minutes to cover my simple Arkansas voice around the globe, your voice is being heard in your world. And I'm confident that I said the right thing. And if you believe that Jesus is more than just a good moral philosopher, but he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then you should join me in telling the world with your voice. Say it with me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Is the gospel narrow? Yeah. Where it needs to be. But oh, is it broad for anyone who needs a Savior? Bow your head with me right now. Today you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm so glad that the gospel is broad when it comes to forgiveness, because I need forgiveness today. I've sinned against the person I love the most. I've been so rude. I have been so unkind. I have been so cruel to the people in my family. in my private time, I was not meditating on the law of the Lord, but I let some real sin take over some private time in my life that I know hurt God. There's this pattern in my life that I need the power of God to help me, and I'm struggling with it, but I failed this week, and I want Jesus to forgive me. Maybe you're here and you've never boldly said, I believe Jesus is not a lunatic or a demon. I believe He's who He said He is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I want to make Him my Savior. I need forgiveness. If you're here right now and you need some of the forgiveness that Jesus can truly give you, I'm going to count to three, and I want you to humble yourself and raise your hand and just hold it in the air for a moment. Would you do that? One, two, three. Just raise your hand right now. Just keep it up. Just keep your hand. Thank God. You that's got your hands up, I want you to know the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and His mercy is going to come over and take you. And with every sunrise, you are going to live free of guilt and shame because of your openness to the blood and the forgiveness of Jesus. Everyone pray this prayer right now with me. Everyone, if you will. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm so glad You've made room for me. I don't live in a Christian bubble. I live in a culture with questions. And some would say Christianity is too narrow. I thank You, Lord, that it's narrow and that You are truth, but it's broad, that everyone can be included. Thank You for forgiving me of my sins. Thank You for including me. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Would you put your hands together and thank God for this great service we've had this morning. In Jesus' name.